Hello, and welcome back to Zadia Race Against Time. I think this is going to be our final episode. I'm excited to see how things end. This is going to be really fun. This is our Tales of Zadia one-shot set in the universe of the Dragon Prince. We've been having a lot of fun with it, and I am looking forward to seeing how everything comes together at the end. Before we get started, I do want to invite everyone to come join us over on The Actual Place. That is our server, which we have designed to be a wonderful place for all actual play podcasters of the indie variety. Are there any actual play podcasts that aren't indie?
Except for like Critical Role, if you want to count that.
Yeah, I know, but even then, like, I think it's their business.
I would not classify them as indie.
No, I don't think so. I was thinking, like, does, like, Wizards of the Coast or something, like, sponsor any, like, podcasts? I don't know. That's not important.
The Glass Cannon
Rabbit Hole
is sponsored
for another time.
We are not sponsored.
The Glass Cannon is sponsored by
Paizo.
Paizo.
Yeah, so I guess they're not technically independent. But yeah, we love having lots of little podcasts around, and we love sharing our little milestones and whatnot as we go along. It's really fun seeing people grow over time.
We just hit 150,000 total downloads in real life.
Oh, I was going to mention that on like an actual Thornvale episode, but we can mention it.
Well,
twice.
If people listen to this, they'll hear it first here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We hit 150K. I was watching it because it like showed up as 150K, and then I like hovered over the little thing, and it was like, you know, this 9,900 and something, and I was just like watching it going turn over, so I could like officially announce it, you know. But yeah, so it's a lot of fun. We have a whole other show. If you're just here for Zadia, go check out the rest of Thornvale. It is super, super fun. We have tons of other one shots as well if you want to go check those out. They have like different pictures, except on like Apple Podcasts, I think. I don't know why Apple Podcasts won't use my really cool like season specific or show specific art.
Make it change.
It won't do it. I have tried. They don't do that. It's very rude of them. It's dumb. But yeah, so I'm sorry if you're on Apple Podcasts and you can't see all of our pretty art. But if you go to our Discord, we have a pinned comment on our Discord that gives you a list of all of a playlist on Spotify for all of the shows. I don't have one for Apple Podcasts. You guys are just screwed. So sorry about that.
Wow.
But all right, let's go ahead and get started. Hannah, if you want to take it away for us, as you are our GM for this game.
Yeah, so first of all, you guys might want to help me fill in what happened the last time.
we fought a dragon and I threw some stuff in its ear, and now it's nice
fought,
again.
Poured it down
its
ear.
Fought is a strong word.
We tried not to be eaten by a dragon while attempting to save it, and Wesley's character ran up the tower.
I'm still on the tower.
That's more accurate.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. That's what happened last time. And we were kind of sad when we passed like a refugee camp.
One thing that happened too. One thing I want to point out, because we didn't interact with them at all because we were basically like, we can't save these people. We need to focus. And it wasn't good. Like, I didn't feel good
didn't feel good.
I think we made the right choice.
I didn't feel good either. I think that was the point.
I think we were talking about, like, maybe we would run back through and try to get them to leave. But
I have a feeling like we're not going to have time.
That's probably unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And remind me, where exactly did we leave off with the dragon?
You just said killed. That it looked like we could notice something happening, but then you cut it off there. So, like, we don't actually know if it's nicer yet.
Yeah.
We just started to see it looking better.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
okay.
Wesley's character is still... Daraka is still in the tower.
Yep.
We sent him up the tower.
You ran into Minsa, who is the original owner of Clores.
Yes,
so they were reunited. Sorry if I'm talking weird. My teeth hurt.
Hannah's got a cold.
I think that's about it in the last episode.
That's about it.
Yeah. Because we started.
Most of it was the dragon encounter.
Yes, yeah.
We started off from that gate that we got through, so like it was pretty much just us traveling through the camp and then getting to the dragon.
Yeah. And then
okay.
And then bringing it down and the medicine, and my character was pretty much out of it for the whole second half or majority of the second half because I was just going up the tower and you didn't come back to me before ending it. So I'm still going up the tower, very, very exhaustedly.
Because I can't go back and forth. I don't.
I know. It's fine. I'm just
Alright, well, let's jump back into things with, oh my gosh. I just almost, like, combined names and said Keyleth, which is not correct.
It's also
Keyleth and Kayfira.
You just made our ship name, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
We can't use that. It's
Except
a character.
That's a critical role character.
Can't actually use that what, name. Kayleth? It's not ours.
Yes.
Yeah, from campaign one.
Yeah.
It's a name.
Yes.
Yes, and it's a trademarked name.
The
I
name
believe.
Of a very popular fictional character.
Okay, like, but it just happened to be the ship name of these two characters. What do you mean we can't
it would
say
be,
it?
It would have to be
Kayfira.
It would have
Tophira.
To be Kayleth.
That's what I'm saying, Kayleth,
not
Keyleth.
Not Tophira.
I do actually do like that better, actually. Tophira, yeah.
Oh, that's my.
Funny. All right, where,
anyway,
what are we doing?
Sorry.
What's happening? How's the dragon?
Yeah, so you guys have enacted your plan. It had a few hitches.
A few, yes.
A few.
A few hitches.
That's
Mainly
putting it lightly.
I can't roll in this game to save my life.
Overall, you guys did succeed. So you're able to get this serum on the dragon, and you kind of see this corruption lift off of the dragon. You see it kind of like shake its head, almost like, you know, like, dragons are kind of like big dogs, you know, it kind of shakes like a dog. And immediately the dragon perks up and kind of like looks around almost like confused, like what the heck has been happening.
I'm probably like still kind of like on its shoulder because that's where I was to like get in the
pour it in its
the
ear
stuff, throw it in its ear. And
Do
so
you
I'm
think
just...
you get thrown off when she shakes herself off?
Probably, or... yeah. I probably get, like, thrown right off. And I'll just, like, catch myself with my wings and, like, oi! You're feeling better there, big girl.
So, Orta isn't the talking kind of dragon.
It's okay. I was still going to talk to her anyways.
She does kind of, like, you know, kind of, like, slowly bob her head up and down.
Hmm.
Great.
She can understand us.
So yeah, congratulations. You guys healed the dragon. Yay.
Nice.
Yay. All right, well, we still have a job to do, so.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think,
still have a much bigger problem to deal with.
Yeah, I think Toleth sees this exchange and he just says, we're here to try and stop what's happening to the, and he like points up at the Sunforge. And he just says, is there any way you could help us up there?
Or Ilpam, he doesn't have a... Doesn't have wings.
I guess just me, yes.
She nods again.
Cool.
So yeah, my Kookaburra won't need help either. I always forget that I have that thing. It'll just fly up on its own with Kayfira, but Toleth will, like, I guess climb on the back of this dragon, yeah. If it looks like it's letting him climb on.
Do you want to maybe point out your friend who is struggling very...
I'm going to deal with that in a second.
The problem is you're inside the tower.
Yeah, I'm going to go get him.
Which... Oh, inside. I.
Well, no, he's not inside the tower. The stairs wrap around the outside.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Right, isn't it
okay.
outside the tower? Okay.
I assumed it was inside
the tower. I'm going to go get him.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly up to Toleth and say, I'm going to go grab a little friend there, and you want to meet us up there?
Sure.
I'm going to go grab Daraka and fly him to the top while we get up there with the dragon.
In armor?
Sure.
I mean, are you sure you can do it?
It'll be faster than him flying.
I mean, the dragon could up maybe carry him too.
Then I'm gonna go up there and Sparta kick him off onto the dragon. Like, let's just get up to the top of this thing.
No,
no,
I need
I'm
you
kidding.
Guys
I think
to
we
decide
can...
how you're getting now.
Okay, Hannah, you know this series better than any of us. Do you think I could grab him and bring him to the top?
I'm gonna say yes, but I'm gonna say it's an easy contest. So I'm gonna
okay,
make you roll
fine.
For it, but it's gonna be like an easy contest. You know
I
what
can
I mean?
Do that. Yeah.
I think that's an easy difficulty, but I still think it's something that could be contested. You
should
know what
probably
I mean?
Still role play, picking like going.
Yeah.
In the
oh no, I'm gonna
yeah,
do.
Definitely.
I'm gonna do it without like telling him or anything. I'm just gonna pick him up. I think
oh,
that's
okay.
funnier. I rolled a 13.
Oh.
That may be my best roll in the game, and it doesn't matter.
Wow.
Not that much.
Yeah,
anyways.
I didn't roll yet. Hang on. I got a 10.
Okay.
So you succeed. All right, so I'm actually going to cut to Daraka for a second, just because it's been a while. So Daraka and Eckers are running up all of these stairs. Daraka, what is going through your mind right now? Just as you're on this sprint.
I think he realizes this is it. Either he will succeed in this and make it and it will work, or he won't and the whole thing will blow to bits and it won't matter because he will be dead. But he's really like, once again, it all goes back to what he felt when he was too late to protect the queen before her death. And I think his singular thought is like, if this is the last thing I do, then so be it. I will not fail again is what he's thinking.
So I think kind of as you're still on like the lower levels here of these stairs, because you guys are just going around and around and around and around this same tower, Eckers points out a bakery called the Scones Throw.
That's crazy.
Such a great name. And he says, I think I could see some bread and stuff still in the windows from here. Don't you think maybe after this we could take that over to the refugees? They might need it.
He cannot spare the air to talk while running up these stairs.
Hey, you know, there might even be a fresh scone in there. You never know. Maybe someone's still in there making some fresh stuff.
He is pretending that Eckers is not present, despite the fact he's having to use him for support.
Yeah.
You guys just hate Eckers. It's fine.
I love Eckers.
Eckers is, like, if he had moments to spare, he would love to discuss scones in a far-off bakery window, but it's pretty much the end of the world if they don't do this, so forgive him for having other priorities at this moment.
He's the worst possible person to be with Eckers right now.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, well, Daraka is being contemplative and angsty and
difficult.
Silently strong.
Difficult.
Brooding.
Reminder, this is a goal for him. Okay, I said it at the beginning of the game.
Eckers is just, he wants to help people as much as he can, so he's constantly looking for things that might be helpful.
He's so sweet.
Yeah.
It's fueled by guilt. But yes.
It's so sweet.
Alright, so we could go ahead and jump back to, kind of integrate the two scenes here. I think they're, Daraka and Eckers are still running up the stairs. Kefira, do you want to describe your success with scooping up Daraka?
So yeah, Kefira's gonna just like fly up there after Tolith gets on the dragon, and she is just going to snag Daraka, like just like hook her arms underneath his shoulders and like just snag him and drag and grab him up, and as she does, she says, "We did it."
Yeah, I think there's a moment of, he was running on the stairs and now he is in the air and he's like, it's you. I'm sorry, did you say you did it?
Yeah, and she like, she kind of like turns him a little bit while she's still flying so that he can see the dragon coming up behind us.
I think for the first time, maybe, if she can see it, he begins to crack a small smile, because that sight right there means a lot to him, but he just takes a moment to appreciate, and then he turns back, looking up towards the top of the tower, and he just says, "There is no time to lose. Let's try this and see. Either it works or..."
Let's not think about that.
Agreed.
I think, meanwhile, as the dragon's taking off, he'll see Kefira go and pick up Daraka, and he'll just kind of point towards the stairs, and he'll just say, "Could you go close and help me pick up that human there?"
Yeah, I mean, Orta is going to do whatever you tell her to do. So, okay. Yeah, she can swoop down just as you give her instructions.
Well, I like to think that maybe he, like, kind of, like, he'll just say, could you try and hover nearby?
Okay, Orta will try and do that. She'll try to go to the side of the stairs and kind of, it's not really a hover, but kind of a, you know.
Yeah.
She hovers the best that she can as a dragon with wings that don't hover.
I mean, dragons can hover. You just have to flap your wings in position.
Yeah, but they don't stay perfectly still. They bob up and down.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean. Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
And Tol is just going to call out, and he's just going to say, you want to fly on a dragon?
Do I what?
It worked. What we thought we could do. It helped cleanse Orta here.
I told you. He just starts going, you know, like kind of freaking out, and then he'll get on the dragon with you.
Yeah. Do I need to help him jump over it all, or is it
Yeah, you can help him kind of jump over it, but I'm not gonna make you roll for anything. It or anything.
Cool. I don't wanna accidentally kill Eckers, so that makes me happy.
that would be the worst.
And as like Toleth is like, I'm imagining that I'm just like kind of like up like on the dragon's like back or neck area, and maybe like I just kind of pull him up behind me and I just say, it's not every day that I get to see a dragon, let alone ride one. This is a new one for me.
This is amazing. Eckers is thrilled.
And I think Toleth will just kind of like tap Orta on the neck as a way to kind of indicate that he's ready to go.
All right, yeah, so Orta will fly wherever you guys want her to, so, and Kefira has got Daraka, so what's the plan from here? What are you guys going
to
do?
We're going to fly up to the forge of the tower and dump the stuff on it.
Toleth is just going to whisper to Orta. He's just going to say, see if you can beat them up there.
That's not even a contest, Andrew. Why would you do that?
Because it's fun.
Yeah. I think you're going to beat us there.
Yeah.
Orta will take off much faster in an attempt to go to the top. As you guys get to the top, you know how I kind of described those pulses that you were feeling?
Mm-hmm.
That's getting a lot more intense now that you're getting closer to the top. And actually, all of you are going to take a D6 of corrupted stress.
Ooh.
Because you guys are so close to the Sunforge at this point.
Because I don't have enough.
Do you guys kind of like meet up at the top here and talk about it, or you know, you just gonna go for it?
Well, Toleth was basically asking to be landed on top.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not sure we have time to stand and talk about it while the pulses of evil are happening. So,
I mean, I think Toleth would want to, like, when he gets up here first, he would want to kind of just assess like what exactly it looks like up here. Like,
yeah, can you like give us kind of a description?
Yeah. Well, because I think he would want to just assess the scene in general and see if
I would like to know, like, what's going on up here.
If there's any kind of, like, barriers or, like, kind of, like, things that would stop us from doing what we want to do. Yeah.
So at the very top of, like, this tower where the stairs kind of end, there is, you know, the tower is a circular. And so you have a circular platform. And in the middle, there is that kind of, like, you guys remember how they made Amaya look into, like, that, like, magnified sun ray as, like, the purification thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle of this, like, tower at the very top, there's kind of, like, a space where they have that, like, an empty space that has that, like, magnification type thing that brings all of this into a singular ray, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all, like, on the ground where you can, like, walk around. And then there's kind of, like, these four massive pillars that have like a domed roof, and the Sunforge is underneath of that kind of like domed roof kind of a thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I have a picture here I can send you guys, but hopefully that was a good enough description for the listeners to.
Yeah, that definitely.
I think it makes sense.
It definitely made sense to me.
But I like pictures because the art in this is pretty.
Yeah, this book is amazing.
The art is absolutely beautiful.
Ooh.
Oh boy. Pretty. That is some serious atmosphere right there.
That's
like
terrifying.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, and as you guys are up here, all of this, like, you know, the Sunforge is normally, like, looks like literally like a mini sun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now it's, like, black, more
a
like a black hole.
Black hole.
And these pulses of, like, black and red kind of, like, smoky energy are coming off of it. And again, you can kind of feel these pulses, like, almost, like, in your chest.
I think the way you described it last time, it's like if you're at a concert and you can like feel the
bass.
Yeah, like you can actually feel it like pulsing through you, like a bass at a concert or something. Like you can feel it in your chest.
I think Kefira is like kind of standing here in awe looking at this for a second and feeling those like pulses of like horrible corruption. And she's just going to turn to Daraka and say, shall we do this? Because it's in the air and she needs to fly up there.
But just for clarification, just so you know, there's that hole in the middle that goes all the way down. So if we fall through that hole, good luck.
Yeah. Let's not.
Yeah. Then above that is the magnified kind of thing that shines the light through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not fall in the hole.
Let's not fall through the hole.
He just turns and nods at her, and he kind of takes a stumbling step or two ahead, because obviously evil pulses of evil. But yeah, so he nods, and then he's waiting for her to attempt to lift him again, or else maybe the dragon, I don't know.
Yeah, before she does, she's gonna turn to Tolith and Eckers and just say, I don't know what's gonna happen when we do this, so, you know.
We'll be ready.
If we all die, just, it was good. And she kind of gives like a little salute. It was nice, you know. She kind of just takes a deep breath.
It was nice going on another adventure with you.
And she kind of gives him a smile and she says, it was nice to meet you, Eckers.
He gives you a salute.
Yeah, she returns his salute and turns towards Daraka.
Daraka looks at all of them in the last moment before being caught up, and he says, perhaps a fate saw to bring us together. And then he turns and they're up. They're in the air.
Yeah, we're gonna fly up.
Just so you know, the shard that you have, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
it is tinging like crazy now that you're
I
up
would assume
there, because
this
its
is the
job
source.
Is, you know,
yeah.
it's going nuts.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So not only do you have this, you know, massive pulsing thing, but you also have this shard going like ding.
You might want to drop that,
ding,
Andrew.
Ding.
Just chuck it at this point.
I mean, it could be useful for other corruption, you know?
That's true.
No reason to throw away a magic item.
Okay.
All right, so what's the plan?
We're going to fly up there and dump the stuff.
Who's flying and who's throwing what?
I am carrying Daraka and he's doing the throwing.
And Tolith is just going to kind of like hold back and like be ready in reserve in case something happens.
All righty. I guess Daraka, go ahead and make your roll to chuck this vial into the Sunforge. I'm not gonna make Kefira roll for anything because you guys already took care of the dragon, so I think it's just Daraka that needs to roll.
Alright, well, I think I could use pretty much all my dice for this, I think.
Well, not
well,
all.
Let's hear it.
Well, okay, alright. Okay, I can use Sunfire Elf. I believe I could use Strong Willed Knight because I literally have Strong Willed written in that move, and if this is, I mean...
How does Sunfire Elf help you throw something?
I think it's more like giving him the resolve to finish this.
Okay.
Can I use Justice? Any wrong done to my comrades will be dealt with without compromise? That could fit.
Yeah, I think Justice is a good fit.
Okay, because
yeah,
sure. Then I'll leave that.
Yeah, you're trying to undo the things that Viren did, so.
So what's your attribute?
I would say probably either Strength or Agility.
Yeah, that makes sense. Whichever
Agility's hand-eye coordination, and strength is your physical fitness and power.
Yes, I'll use strength. I have a 10 for strength.
Okay, so you're using strength, justice, and Sunfire Elf.
Well, could I add it? I have Strong-Willed Knight in here instead of Sunfire Elf, but if I can add them both.
You could do Strong-Willed Knight instead, that's fine.
Either one, you can only use one of them, I think.
Okay, and this is a...
And how much stress do you have? Just that 1d6 of corrupted or more than that?
I don't believe I cleared it, so I have the corrupted plus I believe I had a single die of angry stress.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense because you both failed on...
Yeah, we did earlier.
...a talk with somebody earlier, yeah.
But my total was a 12. Ugh.
Ooh, that's not bad.
No.
Oh, she's going to mess me up.
What?
She's going to so mess me up.
I rolled a 12 on a
d12. Remember.
Use the plot point.
Yep, use the plot point.
It'll get you, you can use one of your other dice.
That wasn't my total, though. But you can see if you still beat it with a plot point.
Okay.
What was the other die you rolled?
I rolled 16 total.
Oh.
Wait, with,
okay.
Do you get to count all of those?
I got a I got a 12 on a d12, and I got a 4 on a on a 6-sided die.
Oh.
I mean, if you have a die that'll get you above 16, you're more
He's
than welcome
got
to do that,
dice.
But you have to beat 16.
Yeah.
What was your other die?
A 6, a 6, and a 2.
Okay, that
so
doesn't
14,
do it,
yeah.
Can we do anything to help him?
Susanna, you can go ahead and spend a plot point if you have one.
I no, can't.
Oh, you don't have
me.
One.
That would be me.
Okay, Andrew, you could spend your plot point to give him a D6, and that's
yeah.
all. That's all you got.
So I will spend the plot point, and I think that the way Tolith and the dragon help is
you can blow the stuff back up.
The dragon flaps its wings to make the air currents
change
suitable for the throw.
And
I don't know how that
wind.
Works physically, but that's what I'm gonna say.
Wait, it doesn't have to work logically. It can work magically.
Okay,
this is a magical world.
The dragon uses its magic over the air it's a fire dragon. I know this, but it uses its ability
to
fly.
It's connected
to
the arcane.
Yeah. All right, roll it, Andrew.
I know this sounds great. I know that this sounds very believable, audience. Thank you for being on this journey.
Well,
with me.
Andrew doesn't roll it. Wesley
rolls
it.
Yeah, Wesley rolls it.
Okay.
So roll an extra
D6.
Wesley
roll
it.
And if it's a 5 or a 6, you'll be able to add it like you were planning to do with your plot point.
Okay, rolled, and that is 5 on the D6 die.
Okay.
Whew, okay. Whew.
So narrowly made it.
So that's what total?
A 17.
12. Woo. 12 and 5,
yeah,
17.
Just barely succeeded.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Jeez, I'm glad we saved
okay,
all our
so
plot points.
Okay, so Andrew spends a plot point to give Wesley a D6, which allows Wesley to spend a plot point to pass the test by 1.
I'm picturing a very slow
and,
motion.
This is all thanks to Orda flapping her wings or something to like make the potion land true. The serum.
She's a big dragon. She just blew it with her mouth. It's fine.
Yeah.
Magic. Woo.
So, Wesley, why don't you go ahead and describe for me Daraka chucking this vial into the Sunforge? Go ahead and give me some description here.
He's hanging by his shoulders. Kefira is holding him. And then he just pulls his arm back. And he takes a deep breath in. And he calls. He just shouts out over the pulsing and everything. He's like, Fuluxaria! And he throws it. And it's like one of those slow motion movie moments where like there's no music, there's no nothing, it's all quiet. And then it gets so small because the Sunforge is comparatively so huge, and then it's like this it looks like a little shooting star descending into the heart of this big black nothing. And what happens, Hannah?
Alright. I just have to read this part. It says, if the roll is a success, this is a slow motion pitch worthy of any sports film, which is basically exactly what
That's
you just
exactly
described.
Right.
I didn't read the
That's
book,
funny.
I promise.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I didn't. Not about
I don't believe you. Alright, so you chuck this vial into the Sunforge. It's exactly as you described. It's awesome. It's epic. You get your, you know, yell of for Luxaria in a very dramatic fashion.
Of course.
And as the vial, like this hits the Sunforge, you see the Sunforge kind of flash bright yellow, like its old self, like exactly like how it used to look. And then all of that black comes right back into it, and it starts beating in the steadily increasing pulse.
I feel like we should leave.
Yeah.
I'm gonna drop back down to the ground.
Boom. Boom.
Okay.
Boom.
We're running. We're running.
I'm gonna drop back down to the ground and turn to Tolith and the people on the dragon, and just say, I think we need to go. I don't think we've got any more time.
Yeah, I agree. Orda, can you carry all of us, or does Kefir need to take him?
Can we all ride out of the dragon?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we all do that.
I'm gonna land on Orda because I'm freaking exhausted.
Yeah, we all just.
Yeah, I imagine you are.
We all just hang on tight.
Oh, that means Clores is gonna die.
That means
this is not our fault. This is not our problem.
Sad.
Okay,
he can't fly out.
He was already gonna.
Me sad.
At least he's with his person.
Shut up, Andrew. Let us have our epic moment of flying out of the dragon.
I was still thinking about Clores, though.
And think of that refugee camp and the
Shut
children.
Up, Hannah.
And...
Well, we already knew they were gonna die. We didn't.
Maybe we'll
oh,
see.
So that makes
maybe
it
we'll
okay.
see Clores flying
we,
out after us.
We were saving ourselves the emotional distress by not interacting with those people too much.
Can we have Clores flying out?
Can we just fly out, please?
One more trip, please.
No, I don't think that's gonna happen.
It was worth a try.
So you guys jump on Orta's back and fly out of the city?
I think we don't have time to do anything else, so yes.
I think all that Tolith would say is, if you can do it...
The pulsing is getting faster as you go.
Well, as we're flying away, he's just like, if you can fly close to that refugee camp, maybe we can get some of them to start running. It's his last-ditch effort to save maybe a life or two.
Okay, my character's life is over. I'm just gonna... I mean, I know that anyway, but also, like, even if the thing was not exploding, he would... No. No, this is...
What do you mean his life is over?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Taraka, how are you feeling about this? Because you kind of thought this was it, right? Like...
Yeah, he really thought that either... That he really did believe that this could, especially after seeing the dragon revived, he held out a hope that it could work. Especially after that, he's like, he has given all he can, and now I think he's just sitting on the dragon looking completely withdrawn into himself. Like, maybe, I know I said that we all ran and jumped on, but...
I dropped you on the dragon.
Or whatever it was, yeah, because I was like, even if he could, if he'd been standing there, I don't think he might have even moved, because I think he's just accepted, like, okay, I have failed. I have failed my ruler, I have failed my people, I have failed everyone, is basically what he's thinking. Yeah, so he's like, he is very detached at the moment, I think, is what's going on in his head.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I would be devastated if I were him.
That might be something that Tolith notices when we're not.
Yeah, let's get outside
the city.
Of the
actively
city.
Dying.
Then we can talk.
Yeah.
All right. So as you guys, you know, fly out of the city, you have just enough time to kind of fly down off of the tower, kind of shout this warning at the refugees. Some of them do kind of go, "Oh, crap! You're right," and start running well.
I don't think it's gonna matter, but
I don't think it's gonna matter either.
Yeah, so you guys get out of the city limits and see this wave of dark energy kind of cascade over the entire city. And dark shapes swirl around and in and around it, kind of like frightening demons. And the city is completely engulfed. And kind of as you're watching this, you have this realization that, like, yeah, this is bad, but this could have happened to all of Zadia.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This would have happened to all of Zadia if you guys had not launched this vial into the Sunforge. And so even though this is, like, awful, you did save the rest of the continent.
I think Kaephira...
Well, hold on really quick, just to make sure I understand. You're saying that, like, these waves, dark energy, come out and just...
Sit with the city.
Like,
stop.
Engulf the whole city? Like, what happens? Like, is it, like, imploding into nothingness? Like, what's happening physically to the city?
The entire city is engulfed in this, like, black and red kind of, like, swirling, smoky energy. And you're not sure whether, like, who made it out, like, if you can survive inside. It's impossible to see through. Mm-hmm. You just know that the entire of, like, city of Luxaria is engulfed in this horrible, corrupted, thick, black energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not sure if the city's been leveled. You're not sure if it's imploded. You're not sure exactly what happened. You just know that it's not good.
There's this kind of barrier or this kind of zone, so to speak. Of
I mean, you could
corruption.
Try to go in it if you wanted to. I wouldn't encourage
I don't.
It.
I don't want to, yeah.
As we're watching this happen, I think Kaephira is just going to kind of solemnly like reach into her backpack and pull out her sketching pad that she has, and she starts drawing what's going on and just kind of sketching it out, just looking down and sketching. And
I will say you probably do see some refugees coming out of this kind of like smoke, like coughing and panting.
Oh,
cool.
I think we should
so
land
you were
and
able
try
to
and
save
help
some
them.
Of them.
I think we need to land and see if we can help them.
Yeah, I think after this, we're just going to go and try to grab the refugees and bring them to like the nearest. So we have a dragon that can bring us places now. So I think if the dragon is cool with it, I think we're going to use her as a taxi or an ambulance for refugees for a little while and bring them to the refugee camps.
All right.
Like the exterior ones, yeah.
If this is what you two are doing, I think you might have to physically steer my character. He is absolutely unresponsive.
I think Kayfera is going to kind of like reach up where he's sitting and just kind of like grab him on the shoulder. And she's just going to say, I know this isn't what you wanted, but we saved a lot of people. We saved all of Zadia.
Well,
most of Zadia.
And he looks down at her rather stiffly, and he just says, I shall return to the Stormspire and await whatever judgment my ruler may place.
You did a good job, Daraka. Your queen would have been proud.
And I think he nods very quickly, but if she can see, he's like, what she just said there, like, he's noticeably blinking, right? He's like, once this all calms down, I think he's just gonna have to, like, sit in his emotions for a while, I think.
Yeah. But I'm just gonna give him another squeeze on the shoulder, because I know there's nothing I can say right now that's gonna make much of a difference.
Yeah.
Just, like, as you guys are standing here, you kind of notice, like, Vaka had set up her camp out here, too, you know, kind of where this journey started for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You guys see her standing outside her tent, kind of like taking all of this in, and you can see her crying, and she takes off this locket that she had like around her neck, and she kind of traces it and holds it close to her heart and just cries.
Yeah. I think I'm going to come over.
There's a lot of emotional people out here right now.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm going to go over to her and just kind of get her attention and say, we did it, and it's all thanks to you. Thank you.
I could not have done it without your help.
She just kind of nods like, that's true. But you helped.
Yes. But she's too sad to accept that right now.
So I think, you know, we landed once we got outside the city limits. We saw this happen. Daraka and, you know, all three of us kind of had our conversation about how, you know, we succeeded. We see Vaka crying and Kayfera goes over that way. I think, like, right as that happens is maybe around the time that we see the refugees coming out that you mentioned earlier. And I think Toloth would just look up at Orta and just say, can you help me go to them and take care of them? And I think from there, like, he would just be flying Orta, like we talked about earlier. Like, I think he would be trying to help facilitate getting people away from the city after they're coming out. Trying to
kind of
help
like
them
what
in
he's
any
been
way.
Doing.
Providing them rock candy snacks whenever he can.
And Eckers would be helping you as well, to lift, because he starts going off on, like, kind of as you're doing this, he starts going off on this, like, rant about how, I'm gonna dedicate myself to helping the Sunfire Elves, and, but, you know, like, he's just like, I'm gonna make this right, you know?
I think what Toloth would just say as he's going on like this, he says, I know that we just met, Eckers, and I know that I've never met a human before, but you seem like a good one.
It gives you a big smile.
And I would love to sit down and learn more about you when this is all over. He kind of smirks at him.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. He's like, yeah, let's do it.
Toloth and Eckers, buddies. I like it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, like, the rest of that, you know, bit of time there, I mean, you know, I would be doing what I can to ferry people.
I would help.
Yeah.
All right, so I think kind of after, you know, you guys kind of do this for a while, things kind of settle down as much as they can, and you guys notice a small group of important-looking Sunfire Elves kind of walk through the crowd. They walk up to you, the one that is in front. They are a younger looking Sunfire Elf. They appear to be a priest. They have kind of like something that especially Daraka would take note of as like a sacred staff of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Daraka specifically would recognize them as part of, as a priest. They introduce themselves as Lamas, and they just start immediately like being like, we heard about what you did and that we are so thankful, and just like thanking you up and down for helping you out or helping out with what happened at the Sunforge.
Oh.
Yeah, initially Daraka kind of bows his head because this is a religious figure, and then I think he's very, like, haltingly trying to explain what happened and how, you know, I did it for, you know, I did it for our people. I did what I felt to be right, and, you know, and he, you know, he's trying to just explain this because for once, like, this is kind of a load off his chest, I think, because he's actually able to explain it to others who would fully understand the import of it.
The priest kind of, like, thanks all of you. They say that, you know, kind of talk about how obviously the loss of the city is not ideal, but there's hope for the people. They're kind of talking to you guys, but they're also, like, addressing the crowd that's kind of forming around you as well. So they kind of give this, like, little speech about how there's still hope for the people, and they say, perhaps there is an artifact that can help us rebuild. Maybe some other artifact with some magic that can help us build a new home. And as Lamas finishes speaking, another Sunfire Elf approaches, and I'm going to describe this person. Have you guys all watched the new book?
I have.
No. We haven't finished.
Just do it anyways.
Okay, you might, okay, if you've at least watched the first couple episodes, you might know who this is. So I'm going to describe them, and you can see if you can guess them. He is lanky, wearing an elegant shoulder cape, and has short cropped red hair with the sides shaved. His gentle eyes give way to a proud smile as he offers his own earnest gratitude. He's a young Sunfire Elf. Anybody? Anybody?
Is it the brother of,
I believe this is
the Golden Knight?
I believe this is the mage, if I recall correctly. This is her brother.
This is Kareem. This is Janai's brother.
Oh, okay.
That's who I thought it was.
Yes. So as Lamas, the priest, finishes their speech, Kareem walks up and says, "Excuse me, Lamas. I would also like to interject, if I may. And friends, I wanted to thank you all personally. I am Kareem, and it is due to your efforts that the flame of the Sunfire Elves can continue to burn."
Just kind of fluff up a bit.
I think this, if nothing else, fully kind of shakes Daraka out of the initial, like, my life is over, because hearing this not only from a member of the royal family but the brother of Janai is like, okay, maybe my life is not, he's just thinking, you know, maybe my life is not over, maybe I can actually go back and not live in eternal shame that we've lost our city.
Yes.
Kefira smacks him on the back.
And that's where the adventure ends.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah, so it kind of ends with, you know, we can continue whenever we want to and go look for these artifacts, I guess. But that's
very cool.
That's how it leaves the story. That's,
I like,
that's
it.
That's the,
ooh,
end. Yep.
Okay.
I like that. That's really cool.
Ooh, all right. Sweet. All right, so we will be back 2 weeks from now to do the debrief from this, and after that, we will have a brand new one-shot for everyone to enjoy. I think the next one's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it, so. All right, folks.
I can't wait to tell you guys all of the things that could have made, or that you could have done, and all of the different endings and things like that.
I'm really curious. I'm looking forward to it, because this debrief will be interesting, because this is the first time we've done a module. Yeah. So, all right. Join us in 2 weeks for the discussion, and then in a month for a brand new show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Hope you guys enjoyed.